whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. Or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Titus, this man that Paul is referring to here in this verse, he calls him his partner and fellow helper. And those like Titus are the messengers of the church and the glory of Christ. Partner and fellow helper. The message this morning is entitled, Partner or Problem? All of us as believers, we're either a partner with the gospel and with the Lord and getting out the gospel and being a witness and doing what we're supposed to do and God's will to be performed here on earth through His hands and His feet and His eyes and ears through His church. We can get accomplished the will of God and be a partner with others like Paul and others that are serving the Lord. We could be a partner of the gospel, or we could be a problem. We could be a detriment. What is it? What am I today to Wooden Valley Baptist Church? What am I to my Lord here? Am I a partner or a problem? Let's stop here and ask the Lord's blessings. Lord, thank you so much for this, your word. I pray that you help us to see some things about these servants of that early church that were such a blessing to Paul and to the gospel and to getting out to moving the ball down the court, and so to speak, the furtherance of the gospel. Lord, I pray that you help us to be a fellow helper, a partner, Lord, a co-laborer together with you. Lord, I pray that you just bless, help us this morning to see some things that would be a blessing. Thank you so much also, Lord, for already this morning just speaking to hearts, speaking to my heart, and using the musical program to bring our hearts united and focused upon you and bringing glory to you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us today to see what you'd have for us in your word about where we are today as far as a blessing or a help or a partner with you or maybe a problem. Lord, help us to be in the positive here. Lord, I pray that you just bless, open up your word to us, help us to see some things today that would be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Titus here in our text has one of the best endorsements anybody could ever get in this New Testament dispensation from the greatest Christian worker of all times and that anybody knows about, and that's the Apostle Paul. He's lovingly called a partner and a fellow helper. Am I a fellow helper? Am I a partner with the Lord in getting out His will here? Or am I a hindrance to the furthering of the gospel? As Titus was in our text, if we go back to chapter 8, verse number 16, and read some of the verses there, you'll find that this is the way that Paul is talking about this man, this Christian, who is a blessing to him, a partner, a fellow helper. He says this in verse number 16. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. Now, he's talking to this church, the church at Corinth. They had many difficulties, but here, by the time of 2 Corinthians comes around, they really addressed a lot of that, and they were making strides to bring honor and glory to the Lord. And he says, you know what was a help to you folks was this man, Titus. He says that God put an earnest care into the heart of this Christian for them. Verse 17, for indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. He says, he did over and above. he did more than what was just required. He walked the second mile for you. Go down to verse number 22. He says here, and we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. And he's talking about Titus still and others. And he says, he's proved himself. He's diligent. He's a worker. He really just got in there, rolled up his sleeves, and he got to work. He's diligent. He's proved himself. He proved diligent. Verse 23, whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner, as we just read in our text, our partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren, be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and of the glory of Christ. Paul's referring to Titus here as a partner and fellow helper as he speaks of others in various passages in the New Testament. There's through the New Testament, you'll have churches that are helped by Christians. The gospel is furthered. The cause of Christ is helped by these people who are referred to, like he referred to here to Titus as a partner and a fellow helper. He says here in Romans chapter 16, verse number 3, just listen to these. You can jot them down. They'll be on the screen. But listen as we go through several verses. Romans 16, 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Here, believers are called helpers. Paul said, I need some help. I'm getting out the gospel. I'm preaching. He's an evangelist, and he's going from place to place, and there's people getting saved. He's establishing churches. He says, I need some help. They are, he calls them helpers. Helpers. That word for helpers is repeated over and over in the New Testament, and we have different English words for the Greek, but we'll get into the Greek in a little bit. But down in verse number 21 of Romans 16, he's calling Timotheus, the same kind of a helper or person. He says, Timotheus, my work fellow. The word there is used work fellow. And Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. And he calls Timothy there his work fellow, somebody that's in the work with him, that is his companion in work. Philippians chapter 2, verse 25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you, and this man he's speaking of here, his name is Epaphroditus. Let's call him Ed, okay? So he says, I suppose it necessary to send to you Ed, my brother and companion in labor. And that's what he uses here to describe him, the English, same word, companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. So here's another person that he says, man, he's a helper. He's right in there. He's a companion. He's a fellow soldier. And he calls him a companion in labor. Philippians 4:3, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my, and he calls these folks that are helping him, fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. By the way, if you don't know where you're saved for sure right now, today, something's wrong with your Christianity, because we know today, while we live here on earth, you don't have to wait to get to before the throne and then be judged. And well, is my name in the book of life? He knew that their names were in the book of life. They were saints. They were believers. They made the transaction with the Lord, with the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for them in their place. And they received Christ as their Savior, being born again. And their names are in. He knew that they were going to heaven. Somebody says, preacher, you know you're going to heaven? Yes, I do. And it's got nothing to do with my works, my efforts. It's got nothing to do with my labor, with what I've put out. No. I come short just like every other sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's the gift of God that is eternal life, and I've received that gift. And so now my name is in the book of life, which yours can. You can know that for sure. If you don't know it for sure, know that you know that you know that you're saved. Something's wrong with that Christianity, because you can know. That's what the Bible says. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. And so you can know. As these were, as he says, their names are in the book of life. But he calls them fellow laborers here. And they really helped. Really helped with giving out the gospel, with establishing churches, with doing the work of the gospel, with God's will here on earth. They were fellow laborers. Colossians 1:7. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant. Now the English word here is fellow servant. Same Greek word, fellow servant, he's talking about here, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Calls him his fellow servant. In Philemon, Paul says here, Marcus, in verse 24, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. They're laborers, co-laborers with him. They're in the trenches. They're working. They're working, doing exactly what Paul was doing, and they were right by his side. They were co-workers, or he calls them here fellow laborers. 3 John, verse 8, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Same word again, using a different English, fellow helpers to the truth. So as Titus was a partner and a fellow helper to Paul, these others were colleagues in getting the gospel out to the world. Paul uses the words in these different verses, in these different passages. They were called helpers, fellow workers, fellow helpers, fellow soldiers, fellow laborers, fellow servants. The Greek compound word in each one of these passages is, if I could pronounce it correctly, synergos. It's from two words, soon and ergos, or ergon. Soon is the prefix with, besides, with, you know, kind of coupled with. And then ergos, or ergon, is work or labor. We recognize an English word, ergonomics. That means having to do with work or workplace things. So it's synergon or synergos is the word which sounds like our word synergy, which is actually where we get our word synergy. The definition of synergy, as in Wikipedia, it says this: synergy is the creation of a whole that is greater than the simple sum of its parts. The term synergy comes from the Greek word. Now, this is what Wikipedia is saying, and it nails it here. The word synergy comes from the Greek word synergia, from synergos, meaning working together. You know what synergy is? Synergy is where you take one force here and another force here, and individually they would only do so much, but together they could actually do more than both of them put together. Like if you have a horse that can pull 1,200 pounds and another horse that can pull 1,200 pounds, you yoke them together, get them on the same dead weight, that can actually not do 2,400 pounds of work, but they can do like 40,000, whatever it is. Well, you know what I'm talking about. They can do more together than they actually could do individually. That's what synergy is. When you put two forces together, or three, or a group of forces together, they can actually do more than any one of them can individually. This working together is the theme that's repeated over and over and over in the New Testament, having to do with workers that are laborers together in the gospel, fellow laborers, partners. And we can certainly see an impact that is much greater than the added effect of any one of us put together. Working together in tandem will accomplish much more than we would ever be able to do individually. I might have a voice that would be able to honor the Lord and bring glory to Him, but you know what? When everybody's added together, wow. It's just that much more. Folks, that's the church. And that's the idea of God in working together in a local church. We're fellow laborers. We're partners together. We're to join in together, to add our influence together so that we could be a positive effect for the kingdom of God. We're to work together in this area here in Bothell, Woodinville, to get the gospel out to this community and around the world through the power of the Spirit. We've got to understand it's only through His power that we can actually do anything that's worth eternity. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, you remember the instructions of our Lord. He says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem." Now, that's what the church that he was speaking to then, that first church that he started, the church in Jerusalem. He says, this is where it's going to start, but you're going to be able to reach the world. You're going to be able to be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And we could be that impact to the uttermost part of the earth if we bind together, if we work together, we partner, we're fellow laborers together. Now, although Paul often rejoiced over the positive effects of harmoniously working together throughout his writings and his letters. You find that in the New Testament. We read verse after verse after verse that talked about fellow laborers and fellow soldiers and partners and helpers together. In the last letter of record that we have before Paul's martyrdom, you remember he says, "I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." That's the last book that he wrote, and this is right before he was about to take flight. He was done with his life on earth, and they were about to separate his head from his body, and he knew that. And he says, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course, kept the faith. I'm going. I'm heading out of here. In that book, 2 Timothy, it's loaded with counterbalanced references of those who not only helped Paul and the gospel, but those who have hindered and those who have destroyed Paul's efforts and the gospels. And he refers to them by name. He calls them out, those that were helpers and those that were hinderers. Those that were partnering and those who were problems. And he lays it out. Let's take a look at just a few of those in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia, he says, be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. He names these two guys out. He says, they were a detriment. He was talking, he's giving them a black eye here. He says, this is what they did. You need to know this. Phygellus and Hermogenes. Verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. Now this was a believer who was a partner, was a blessing, was a help. He did help the gospel get out, and he was a partner with the Lord. He says, the Lord give mercy on the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Here's a man that he goes on and on, talks about. This guy was a blessing. This guy was a partner. It wasn't a problem. He was a partner. Now, these others, Phygellus and Hermogenes, they were problems. It's a different story there. He says in chapter 2, verse 17, and their word will eat as doth the canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Names these guys. He says they were a detriment. They actually didn't help others to gain faith. No, they destroyed faith. They were teaching things that were contrary to the word of God, and they overthrew the faith of some. He calls them out. Chapter 3, verse number 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs was also. He's talking about in that church where Paul was a part of, and he mentions people in the Old Testament that opposed God through the plan of Moses. When Moses was going forward, and you had those that opposed those from the mixed multitude, you remember, who spoke against and had the people of God stumble. And he names them, and he says, and they're in this church also. He speaks about those who were problems to the work of God. Chapter 4, verse number 10, he says here, for Demas, names the guy, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So he's giving positives and negatives. These guys were blessings. These guys were detrimental. He goes down to verse number 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it might not be laid to their charge. He says, these guys are bad news, and I want you to know this. I want you to identify their influence and who they are, their problems, their detriments, their contrary, their in opposition to the gospel. So in this book, he gives those that are a blessing and those that are negative, that are not a blessing. Not they don't further the gospel, but they detract from the gospel. Saying that we can either be a help or a hindrance to what God is trying to accomplish here in this place and in this time at Wooden Valley Baptist Church, we've got to be careful to be the partner and not the problem for the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Because everybody is either a partner or a problem. What are you? Are you furthering the ball down the field for the Lord? Or Are you negative? Are you one of those that somebody would say, oh yeah, I know about those Christians. They're hypocrites. So-and-so, he says he's a Christian, and you know, but he listens to these jokes or watches these movies, or he's got this kind of language or whatever, and boy, that's a real help to the gospel, huh? Or they have a testimony where somebody says, you know what, if you're in trouble, you talk to Joe out here. He's a real Christian. I mean, what he says, he means. He keeps his word. He's an honest guy. He's somebody that he didn't just say. He's not a hypocrite. It's real. Are you a partner or a problem? But every one of us is either a partner or a problem here. See, God ordains us to be shining witnesses for Him. But if you're not on board and doing what God wants you to do and helping the gospel get out and the word of God to be articulated, then you're actually hindering the testimony of heaven. So this morning, very simply, what I want to do real practically, go over a few ways of how I can be a partner to the gospel, how you can help, how you can be on God's team furthering the gospel here in this community with your friends. This thing is got a mind of its own. I don't know what's going on here, but that's okay. We're going to exorcise the demons out of this pulpit. You're healed. Okay. Anyway, let's go on. Folks, I don't want to be a hindrance. I don't want to be contrary to God's working here. With the lost around me, my loved ones, those that are deceived and destined for hell, they need a witness. They need somebody to articulate how that the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, He loves you so much, He just like the song, He's not willing to let you go. I know Satan wants to keep you deceived, but the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's got a hold of you. And there's a conviction, and I want that clear. I want the power of God to be evident in my witness and in services, and in our influence here. So how can I be a partner? How can you be a partner, a fellow helper, a fellow soldier, a fellow laborer, a fellow servant? How can we help? How can we be a partner and not a problem? Number one, very simply, be a helper. And these different words that are used, one of them was, he's a helper, she's a helper. Be a helper. Romans chapter 16, verse 3, you remember that verse? Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Be engaged in the same affairs of the church. That's a helper to the church. That's helping the gospel get out. Have the same attitude, the same mindset, similar in love and purpose. The things that mean much to God should mean much to us. You know what means much to God is His church. Whatever goes on here at the church, you know, the meeting times of the church. We have services here that, you know, in Sunday school, we teach the Word of God to those that the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. So we're trying to do that by helping people get on board and learn about the Bible. Get in there, you know. You know what? I'm just glad that, you know, Sunday school is growing and there's different classes and it's just really neat to see that. But we need more teachers and we need more attenders. You know, if everybody showed up to Sunday school, they would have to get different rooms because, you know, there would be more in number. But that's good. The programs of the church, the outreaches of this church, the projects of this church. You know what? In the last couple of weeks, we've had great regular services. I mean, just Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Really good. You know, Brother Chip is teaching a series through 1 John and Wednesdays right now, and man, it's been blessing my heart. Every time I come to church, it's like I get something from it. It's just so good. I'm thinking, why wouldn't everybody be here? You know, there's a good attendance on Wednesday night. We got a good attendance Sunday night. There's a full crowd. It's just wonderful, but it's not everybody. It could be attended by more. We've had encouraging ladies' meetings and men's meetings. Just yesterday, we had the men's breakfast. That was great. By the way, who'd, you know, where's Robert? A wonderful, Biscuits and gravy. He's got the best biscuits and gravy ever. Anyway, that was a lot of fun. It was good. And some men gave their testimonies. It was such a blessing. Guys, wasn't that good? The guys that were there, wasn't that good? Listen, there's some men that missed it that weren't here yesterday. Just jump on, man. Be a part. Just get involved. Go ahead and get involved. I mean, get full on there. The ladies' meetings now. I'm not invited to the ladies' meetings, but I understand that they're doing some really good things. And you know what? It's such a shame that there's some ladies that miss, that you just don't get the advantage of what's there with the fellowship and everything else that you can with the ladies' meetings. It could be attended by more. There's opportunities to work or to labor here in this church, opportunities to paint or mow or clean or teach or to sing or to play. With too many sitting out on the sidelines. Hey, folks, let's jump on board. Are you a partner or a problem? Are you doing what you can? Are you increasing? The Bible says in Colossians 3:2, verse number 1 and 2, if ye then be risen with Christ, this is what our mindset ought to be. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above. Hey, folks, that means that's your passion. That's what you love to do. Did you ever hear, did you ever see a person that was an enthusiast for some kind of a hobby? Whatever it is, if it's collecting something or whatever. I don't want to name any hobbies because it might be your hobby and you get offended. I don't, you know, I like things myself too. I'm an enthusiast for certain things that's, you know, got nothing to do with my work, but I like doing them, and that's good. But you ever see somebody that's just so intense because it's their passion? They love it. You just mention it, and they go on and on and on about their concern, about their hobby, about their focus. Why? Because they're passionate about it. Hey, set your affection on things above. Hey, let's tackle the things of the Lord, His concerns, even more over and above our hobbies, our own special desires or different things that we like to spend time in. When I began visiting in this community for Wooden Valley Baptist Church 32 years ago, go door knocking and invite people to come to church or whatever, it was just myself. And Brother John Tautini, he was my visitation partner. You remember those days? You know, it was just, we'd have visitation and be just John and I show up, and we would go and, you know, give tracts and invite people to church and whatever. And that was great. It was a good time. I enjoyed it throughout. But when my kids started getting older, I started bringing them on visitation. And I would, this is the way I would do. I would dangle something in front of their face there, and I'd say, "Listen, if you go on visitation with me, then afterwards we'll go get a Sunday." You know, Sherry's was in Woodinville at the time, and so it'd be a buck and a half to get a Sunday, and so we'd spend some quality time, and I'd take my kids out to we call it go getting a treat afterwards. Be with Dad, go get a treat. So I wanted to get my kids serving the Lord with me, and I'm going to go on visitation. So you come on visitation with me, then afterwards we'll get a treat. But I had to train them. Okay, now when we go door knocking or whatever, what your job is to stay focused. Kids, stay focused. Don't, you know, wander off or, you know, do something, bring attention to yourself or ask for things. No, don't do that. We're at somebody's house. You just stay with me and do what you're supposed to do and whatever. And so as they would grow, then they'd get the hang of it, and then they would do that. And so, but then I'd take all of my kids, and it would be, as they would get old enough, I'd begin taking them, and sometimes I'd start too young. I remember being at a door once and knocking on the door, and about that time somebody come to the door, one of my kids just kind of walked off the porch and was running after some dog or something like that. And I'm going, hang on. And I have to go get my kids. You can't do that. Kid, get your mind in the game here, okay? You gotta be on track. If you're here, you gotta help. You can't hinder, you know? And that's the way it was, to get them started, to get them, you know, hey, church, get your mind in the game. Sometimes we get distracted with this and that, and we're running off, and we're not helping. We're not helping the cause. Hey, wait a minute. We've got to reach this neighborhood for Christ. We've got to reach your loved ones, your co-workers for Christ. How are we doing on that? Are we distracted? Are we, or is our head in the game? We've got to get into being all in, get our head in the game. Preacher, you act like this church is the center of the universe. Yeah? That's exactly right. You figured it out. You know why? Because that's the center of God's universe. When, do you remember what he asked us to pray? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, what does he want? What are the Lord's biddings? What is his will for people here on earth? That's to hear the gospel, to get saved, and to propagate the gospel, to tell others. I mean, that's what he's concerned about. When he talked about, he gave parables, and he says, now listen, it's like a man that was hiring people, and there are people just laying around with their hands in their pockets, and he comes back and he says, hey, there's a harvest going on, what are you doing? He said, no man has hired me. Get in the field, and he comes back, and 1 hour before dark, he comes back and still sees people with their hands in their pockets, and he's consumed about it. He says, listen, even 1 hour, get in the field, get in there, because there's a harvest. What Jesus told them is that there is a harvest to be had, and his passion, his focus is played out in the outreach of folks around here and around this church. He urges us to lift up our eyes, for the field is white already unto harvest. That's what his concern is. The creator of the universe, that's what he wants. And so you know what? This is the center of the universe. This is what you're supposed to be involved with. This is what I'm supposed to give my life to. It's God's concern, God's will here on earth. I can partner with the gospel by being a helper. And it's not saying that you're not a helper, but how are you doing in that? How am I doing in that? Can I be a better helper? Can I get my head in the game? Can I do more for the Lord? Can I be a helper, do what I'm supposed to do? So how can I partner with the gospel? Number one, be a helper. Number two, be a laborer. That's what he said in Philippians 4:3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with other my fellow laborers. He used that word twice, fellow laborers, labor, whose names are in the book of life. This means work. Labor means work. Roll up your sleeves and prepare that lesson. Take a track to work. Study. Go. Give. Toil. Do whatever's necessary. A yoke is a harness to capture the pressure of two or more animals that are pulling together. And he calls them yoke fellow. Hey, we're in this thing together pulling. And he says, this is what we're supposed to do. Preacher, I don't want to be yoked. Fine. You don't have to be. Nobody does. You don't have to get crowns and trophies at the marriage supper of the Lamb, the celestial awards banquet in heaven, you know, when the Lord reviews our life and says, hey, you've done this, and we get rewards for doing what he said. You don't have to be honored then. You don't have to get anything. But you know what? I'll guarantee you at that place, at that time, there's going to be nothing more important than to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Look what you did for me. Amen. Thank you. Recognition at that point that will span eternity. We're distracted, folks. We're distracted with other things when really that's what we need to understand is get in there and labor. Know that this labor is doable. It's fun. It's a joy. I used to think laboring for the Lord, well, if you're going to serve God, it's going to be hard. You know, suffering for Jesus. But you know what? This labor is light. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, working for him, it's actually a rest. It's not like work. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I tell you what I love. I love working for the Lord. I absolutely love working for the Lord. It's a joy, folks. It is an absolute joy. Somebody pinch me. This is so cool to be able to be involved with the things of God, and I can work for Him. I thought it would be hard, and I thought it would be distasteful to obey the Lord. But the Bible says, 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." I used to think that. I used to think, yeah, if I get saved and, you know, give my life to the Lord and, you know, just go full out, man, it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. It's just a grind. No. It's a joy. It is a joy. And you know what? When you see those that are serving Him, they're all happy serving Him. You know, it's a joy. It's not grievous. So ways I can partner to be a partner to the gospel, be a helper, be a laborer. How about this? Be a servant. Colossians 1:7, "As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant," he calls him a fellow servant, "who is for you a faithful minister of Christ." The word fellow servant, it literally means co-slave, a bond servant, one who has no will of his own. His whole purpose is to fulfill the will of his master. This really sounds like a horrible loss of freedom to be a slave. You kidding me, preacher? You're asking me to be a bond slave to Christ? Well, actually, I'm not asking you that. The Lord is. But it is. It's a bond slave. It sounds like a loss of freedom. But when you see the alternative, being a slave to sin, bound by Satan, what a joy. What a joy it is to be free in Christ and to be freed from that and serving the King of Kings. I've been bought with a price, folks. And so, really, what I have left is to glorify God, and what a great master to serve. When Solomon spoke to, when the Queen of Sheba came looking at Solomon, and she heard all about him and his wisdom and everything else and his worship, she came to see it for herself. And you know what? The Bible says, Jesus said, a greater than Solomon is here. He was just a type of Christ. He was a picture of what would happen, those that actually serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what she said after she sees Solomon's servants. This her words in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse number 80. She says, "Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants." She says, "Your servants, those who are serving you, are happy. You've got a great team here. They're having a great time serving. They're in joy serving." Folks, that's the truth. That is absolutely the truth. What can make me a partner to the gospel? Well, I could be a helper, I could be a laborer, I could be a servant. How about this? I'll be a soldier. Philippians 2, verse 25. "Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier." Put your messenger. He calls him a fellow soldier. A soldier has got to be extremely focused. If he's not focused, he's dead. He's got to be aware. He's got to have his head in the game. He's got to be on guard. He's got to sacrifice. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." He says, listen, Christian, you're in the army, the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. that's the truth. You know what? I want to be a partner. I want to be a help. I want to be a blessing. Ways I can be a partner to the gospel is be a helper, a laborer, a servant, a soldier. So what does being a partner look like when we're working together here in this place? That means everybody pulling. Everybody. Everybody. Nobody just freeloading. Nobody just riding along for the ride. No. Everybody on deck. Everybody singing. Everybody praying. Everybody sacrificing. Everybody laboring. Everybody witnessing. We've got this one month of witnessing. What do we call that? Month of witnessing or whatever it is. Anyway, this month that we're in, this is a blessing, folks. We got this focus on witnessing, on our testimony, and I've signed up, and I remember it came to my day, and I don't remember if it was a Thursday or Friday, and making sure that the gospel gets out every single day, and it was my day, and it was like, I don't know, 7, 6:30 or 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night, I hadn't done my part that day, and I realized, well, I haven't done anything. So put some tracks in my pocket, went to the sports store out here, and started looking at some slingshots and whatever, and got one of the guys that was off to the side, had nothing to do. It was an empty store, nothing to do at that time, so I started witnessing to him. I don't see him here. He said he was going to come, but I don't see him here, but what a blessing. Folks, I'm telling you what, I was blessed. I was actually blessed to be able to take that focus and put it where it ought to be. Hey, listen, being a partner, a fellow laborer in Christ means everybody pulling, everybody confessing. That is continual, keeping clean, walking in the light. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you know how many times I need that verse? Do you know how many times in a week I need that verse if we confess our sins? Do you know how many times in a day I need that verse? When I'm dealing with some of you, do you know how many times every moment I need that verse? I need it a lot. I just say I need that because I flub up. I fail. I trip over my own feet all the time. And I need to apply that. I need to confess my sins. I need to get it clean, have a short account with sin, get it off the table so I can have a relationship, so He can hear me, I can hear Him, and I'm walking in the light. Listen, I need that. Being a partner together means everybody confessing. That means use the altar. I mean, it's here for a reason. It's not just steps so you can get up to the choir. It's, what we use it for is to kneel, and we use this like an altar where we pray at. And then we call it an altar. It's just steps. But use it. And if you don't use this here, use the one in your heart. You need it. I need it. Being a partner together means everybody confessing. Everybody making sure that we've got sin off the focus here, and we're it's a continual keeping clean. Being a partner here looks like everybody forgiving one another. You know, we quickly read over those verses in 2 Timothy chapter 4. It was about Mark. The kid's name was John Mark. Let me give you a little bit of the background there. You've heard it before. John Mark, when Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas, they started off, and it was a nephew to Barnabas. This kid named John Mark, he's called Mark here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 11. Here's the kid that, when they started off, they went on this missionary endeavor, and Mark gets cold feet. Mark fails. Mark starts thinking about mama back home, and he's a young man, and there's some really tough things that they were having to face and some persecutions, and he was getting scared, and he didn't want to. He just said, you know what, I didn't sign up for this. I want to go home. And so finally he left the work. He went back home, and Paul says to Barnabas, he's done. We're not using him anymore. Later on, Barnabas says, hey, come on, let's go on this new missionary journey. And he says, let's take, you know, John Mark, let's give him another shot. And Paul says, no way. Don't you remember what that kid did? Don't you remember how he failed? He failed the Lord. He failed you and me when we needed to lean on him. He's gone. No way. We're not taking him. And Barnabas says, no. He's redeemable. Come on. I know the guy. Give him a second chance. And Paul says, no, I'm not giving them a second chance. And their contention, Barnabas and Saul, they contended with each other over that one man, that one young man, John Mark, that Barnabas went off this way and Paul took Silas and he went off that way. God used both of them. It was just a disagreement, but you want to know something. Later on in life, after all of that, and Mark does get back up. He does correct. He gets back up, and here we have in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, he says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Wow. This young man who caused Paul such grief and pain in the past, he was forgiven by Paul eventually and given another chance. Each and every one of us are going to need forgiveness from somebody else here. You know why? Because we all have feet of clay. Not a one of us is perfect, and sometimes we're going to be short with somebody. We're going to not have the right attitude. We're not going to be what we should be for in Christ, and we're going to offend somebody or whatever. You know, sooner or later, and I don't look forward to it, but sooner or later, you're probably going to have to forgive your preacher. But you know what? That's a great congregation that does that, forgives each other. Because we're going to need that. If we're partnering together, we're going to just have to overlook our faults and problems and sins and get it right, get it clean, and forgive one another. Each and every one of us will someday need the forgiveness of others. That's a mark of his disciples' love, covering a multitude of sins. So what does partnering look like here? Pulling together and everybody confessing and everybody forgiving and everybody praising. Ephesians 3:21, unto him be glory in the church. And this bringing praise unto God and uplifting the Lord Jesus Christ, augmenting him by our lives and our hearts. Sometimes I fear that we think that if we're not against the Lord, we're not going to be opposing him, then we can be considered on his side. No. The lukewarm, the undecided are really not helping. Not on the Lord's side. They're actually hurting the cause. Really a problem. Grief. Dead weight. Counterproductive. I don't want to be counterproductive. I want to be a partner. That's what Paul said about some. He says they're a partner, a fellow soldier, a fellow laborer, a fellow servant. We're co-workers, we're work fellows, we're in the same thing together, we're helpers, we're partners. Are you a partner or a problem? Hey, if you're not a partner, get there. If you are a partner, then hey, let's be a better partner, okay? If you're not saved, you've never been saved, never been born again, you're not working for the Lord. You got to get in and become a partner, and that's the first step, receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, getting into the family of God through the adoption of being born again. That's what you need. Every head bowed, nobody looking for just a moment.